We read in our text Luke 18, verses 31 to 34. And taking the 12, he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written of the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them, and they did not grasp what was said. So according to our text, the 12 disciples, despite their long association with the Master, did not much better than Pilate, who garnished his failure with polite contempt. And what about us? Despite our long association with the good news, there are many latter-day Christians in the world who show that they are no different than the 12 disciples of Jesus before the first Lent. Note the emphatic repetition of verse 34. "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them, and they did not grasp what was said." What accounts for this state of affairs? Why may a person hear and see the truth and still not understand what's happening? The disciples were told in detail what was about to happen, as you know. Jesus told them plainly that he would be tortured and killed, and on the third day he would rise from the dead. But the disciples did not grasp what was said. And why not? It seems so simple. Did they not really hear his words? No, they would have tempted enough to remember what he had said. That was not the problem. They heard, but did not understand, we're told in our text. Now, why not? Well, let's enlarge the question and consider the entire house of Israel, who had, we read, everything that is written of the Son of Man by the promise. Why did they fail to understand? Much worse, why did their leaders bring about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Why? Truth comes by revelation. Abraham said to the rich man in hell, according to the parable of Jesus, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And perhaps you remember the reply of the rich man, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But that is illusory also. Abraham said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Truth comes by revelation. The revelation that is Christ himself speaking to us through his word. For the word of the cross, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Those who are wise in their own conceit shall mourn in the ashes of their conceit. And why can we say that? Because the issue behind the question of how do we know the truth is a question of who controls what is truth. For some, it is really a question of human power and autonomy. And it substitutes human power for that which is objectively true, because they wish to impress upon us to believe that which they say is true. If we say, with the empiricist David Hume, of the a few centuries ago, that, quote, the efficacy of causes lies in the determination of the mind, then nothing is true unless my mind determines it to be true, unless I say it's true for me. Such a position, of course, would give me license to interpret anything at all in any way as I like. And in any department or field of study, I could thereby create a kind of Alice in Wonderland situation and say, but this is how I interpret the text. This is how I interpret the doctrine. This is how I interpret events in history. And who shall say me no? Because if reality is determined by my mind, by my consciousness, by my knowledge, or by the criteria I wish to bring to my interpretation, then I am the one who has the power to determine what is true. Actually, that has been the natural disposition of mankind since the fall of man. It cannot be refuted or refuted on an empirical level. You cannot do that. What do we do? You say this natural disposition will come out whenever we are provoked into a confrontation with the truth and the person and work of Jesus Christ. Either we do not perceive its meaning despite the detailed information made available, which was the case of the 12 disciples in our text, or people react like that Jewish audience in Jerusalem when Jesus told them who he was. And after he had done so, and they rejected him, he said, why do you not understand what I say? And he answered his own question. He said, it is because you cannot bear to hear my word. But we confess that you have heard and understood that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And against unbelieving interpreters, ancient and modern, we believe that everything written of the Son of Man by the prophets has been or will be accomplished. Hence, we enter this season of Lent nearly 2,000 years after our Savior's birth with a public confession of our Nicene Creed, which also constitutes the theme of our sermon. And he was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And on the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures.